welcome to the Church of the Redeemer's Weekly Podcast. We pray that you will enjoy this week's sermon, and we hope that you will follow us at www.cotrb.org, and may God continue to bless you.
Praise the Lord, everybody. Hey, giving glory to God the Father, my Creator. Giving glory to God the Son, my Redeemer. Giving glory to God the Holy Spirit, my Sustainer. Good morning, Redeemer. Happy Mother's Day to all other mothers. We also ask that we would just keep in prayer those of us that today is a difficult day because some mothers are not with us physically, but they are up in heaven and they are looking down. And they are smiling upon us. Amen? Amen. If you would turn with me to 1 Samuel chapter 1. And I'll be reading verses 10 to 20 in the NIV. My wife had already preached, and I feel as though we could take the offering and leave. But the Lord did send me with a word. Amen. Baby, you were magnificent. Amen. When we go out to dinner, you can order whatever you want. Amen. 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 And congratulations, Minister Tamika. Amen. Amen. First Samuel is in the Old Testament, and I would ask that you would keep your Bible open because you know it's the Word of God that does the preaching. Amen. And I would ask that even though I'm starting at verse 10, I would ask that you would read it later, but start at verse 1 and read it in its entirety. Amen. Amen? We should be there by now. I still hear a couple pages turning. That's all right. Amen. And we thank all those that are watching by Facebook, those that are on the conference call. We thank you very much for your participation and your support, but definitely your prayers. Thank God for the unity of the church family. Amen. Amen. 1 Samuel chapter 1, starting at verse 10 down to verse 20. Verse 10 reads, "In her deep anguish, Hannah prayed to the Lord, weeping bitterly. And she made a vow, saying, 'Lord Almighty, if you would only look on your servant's misery, and remember me, and forget not your servant, but give her a son, that when I will give him to the Lord for all the days of his life, and no razor will ever be used on his head.' As she kept on praying to the Lord, Eli observed her mouth. Hannah was praying in her heart, and her lips were moving, but her voice was not heard. Eli thought she was drunk, and he said to her, 'How long are you going to stay drunk? Put your wine away.' 'Not so, my lord,' Hannah replied. 'I am a woman who is deeply troubled. I have not been drinking wine or beer. I was pouring out my soul to the Lord. Do not take your servant for a wicked woman. I have been praying out of great anguish and grief.' Eli answered, 'Go in peace, and may the God of Israel grant you what you have asked of him.' She said, 'May your servant find favor in your eyes.' Then she went her way, ate something, and her face was no longer downcast. Early the next morning, they arose and worshiped before the Lord." Early the next morning, they arose and worshiped before the Lord. Then they went back home at Ramah. Elkanah made love to his wife Hannah, and the Lord remembered her. So in the course of time, Hannah became pregnant and gave birth to a son. She named him Samuel, saying, because I had asked the Lord for him. For the next 25 minutes or so, you know, I usually go 20 minutes, but I think I may need an extra five today. I want to talk from the thought, the power of a mother's prayer. The power of a mother's prayer. Would you pray with me? Father, we thank you. We praise you. We bless you. God, in a few chapters later, Samuel tells that the people are listening and that they want to hear a word from the Lord. So, God, I pray that you would breathe on me this morning, that you would use me to your glory, that you would have your way in this moment. I pray you'd allow me to preach like I've never preached before. And I pray, God, that you would be the one that would get all the glory, all the honor, and all the praise. And all of God's people said, amen. Amen. The power of a mother's prayer. You may not be familiar with the name John Newton, but story is told of how John Newton's mother prayed for him. You see, Newton's mother wasn't able to raise her son or see the fruit of her prayers, for she died when he was only 6 years old. But his mother uttered a prayer before she died. Her prayer was that John would become a minister of the gospel. Well, in the years to follow, it looked like her prayer was nothing more than a pathetic plea, because John followed his father's footsteps, which eventually had him working on a ship as a slave trader. Thus, John himself became nasty, cold, hard-hearted individual. But one night in the year 1748, John found himself in the midst of a terrible storm at sea. John wrote in his journal as he described the storms, strong wind, and raging waves. He said it was as if he was experiencing the wrath of God, for the storm served to be John's spiritual deliverance. But it would take another 16 years before his mother's final prayer would be answered. For it was in 1764 that John Newton became a minister in the Church of England. Amen, somebody. Newton's mother's prayer for her son to become a minister. But she had no idea of the power of a mother's prayer. For she could have never imagined the influence that John Newton would have, not to mention the number of lives that he would touch and would be impacted as a result of God answering his mother's prayer. But it gets better. For in 1772, John Newton, while one day reflecting on his life as a former slave trader, reflecting on a life of sin, John began reflecting on where the Lord had brought him from. And he picked up a pen and began to write these words: amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. 'Twas grace that taught my heart to fear, and grace my fears relieved. How precious did that grace appear the hour I first believed. Through many toils, dangers and snares I have already overcome. For it was grace that brought me thus far, and it'll be grace that'll lead me home. John Newton is not the only example of the power of a mother's prayer. Is there somebody here today that would testify that I'm standing here today because my mother prayed for me? Is there somebody here today that would testify I'm standing here today because my grandmother prayed for me? Yes, my mother prayed for me. She had me on her mind, and she took the time to pray for me. Church, where would we be today without our mother's prayers? For it was our mother's prayers that no doubt shaped each and every one of us in ways that we will never know. But let me ask you a quick question. Do you know why mothers are called prayer warriors? Do you know? It's because mothers know there isn't a problem, that there isn't an issue, that there isn't a situation that our God can't solve. For the Bible tells us that the prayers of the righteous gives us power. So on this Mother's Day, I would like to lift up one of the mothers in the Holy Bible. Her name is Hannah. And Hannah's life story is told in 1 Samuel chapter 1 and 2. And I briefly want to share with you 3 points about Hannah. I want to talk about the power of a mother's prayer. And then I'll take my seat. My first point is in verses 1 to 9. You see, these first verses provide us with the content or the background of what's taking place. So my first point is Hannah's problem. You see, the context has a way of letting us know what was going on in Hannah's life that would cause Hannah to have to pray. For the Bible tells us that Hannah is married to Elkanah. And because Hannah is unable to provide children, she is what the Bible calls barren, which means without child. So according to the customs of that day and of that time, if a man's first wife was barren and unable to provide children, the custom was that the man was allowed to marry a second wife. That sounds like good drama to me. Elkanah's second wife was named Penina, and she was fertile, very fertile, I might add. For the Bible doesn't tell us how many children she had, but it says that she had sons and daughters. In those days, as a woman, your primary responsibility was to produce children, and mainly to provide a male heir to your husband to continue on in the family. There was a social and cultural stigma to being barren. You see, in that culture, a woman was measured by her ability to produce children. Even women themselves used that as a value of assessment of themselves. Now, I don't know if you've ever felt as a woman that you don't measure up, or times you feel less than, or simply feel marginalized because somehow you don't meet society standards as a woman. I don't know if you've ever let others decide and determine your value as a woman. I don't know if you've ever let a man decide or determine your value as a woman. But I know, thanks be to God, that when we were sinners and when we didn't measure up, that Christ died for us. Yes, he did. To make matters worse, we are told in the text that year after year, the entire family would travel to Shiloh. For Shiloh is the place where the temple was. And they would go to Shiloh year after year to provide an offering. The Bible says that year after year, Peninnah would provoke Hannah. She would pick with her. She would rub it in her face. She would be reminding her that she didn't meet the standards as a woman. Hannah had to stand against this type of ridicule on a constant basis. Now let me ask you, just imagine that every time you went to church, that you were provoked. And the Bible says year by year, Hannah began to weep. Now, I know you're from South Philly, and I know you haven't been saved all your life, but I want to ask you, what would you do if somebody kept provoking you? Not to mention the fact that it's your husband's other woman. What would you do? I can hear somebody saying, I'm coming to church with the Vaseline. I can hear somebody saying, I won't be wearing heels that Sunday. What would you do? Here, my second point. We see how Hannah handled her situation. Notice, if you will, the Bible never says that Hannah responded to Peninnah or that Hannah set Peninnah straight. Hannah never responded to the negative. Hannah responded with the believer's ultimate weapon. Yeah. Here's my second point, is that we see Hannah's prayer in verses 10 to 17. Hannah shows us that hymn that we sing Sunday after Sunday. Hannah takes it to the Lord and she leaves it there. Prayer is the ultimate spiritual weapon of the believer. For the Bible says we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. When God's people pray, something happens. For it's prayer that opens doors that no man can open. It's prayer that God makes a way out of no way. It's through prayer that God may not show up, but he'll show up when you want him. It's no secret what prayer can do. Howard Thurman, that black mystic, defined prayer as our communication with God. A.B. Simpson said prayer is the link that connects us with God. But I like how William Templeton says it. He says, when I pray, coincidence happens. And when I don't, they don't. Here we are. Hannah is in the temple. And she's praying. The Bible says she kept praying because she was in deep anguish. And she was weeping bitterly. Hannah prayed for a son, and she vowed to God, look upon me with favor. Do not forget your servant. If you give me a son, I'll give him back. That's where we as Baptists get our scripture reference for baby dedication. You see, children are truly a gift from God. And we're only stewards. But don't miss this. Don't miss this. Hannah's prayer was not for her own selfish desires. She wasn't praying, I need a big house. She wasn't praying, I got to have a new luxury shiny car. She was praying, if you bless me with a son, I'll give him back for God's purposes. Hannah, if you can picture it, she's praying out of the depths of her heart. And we're told that her lips are moving, but there are no words coming out. Sometimes your pain can be so deep that there are no words to describe. Have you ever been crying in the midnight hour, full of pain, and the pain just takes your words away? The saints of old used to say it this way, that when you pray and you pray right, God will fight your battles. Yes, he will. The Bible says he'll make your enemies your footstools, that when the wicked come to eat your flesh, they'll stumble and fall. It says, fret not against evildoers. Here we see a mother praying even before a son is born, talking about the power of a mother's prayer. Let me hurry. But I don't want to miss verse 18. Verse 18 says, may your servant find favor in your eyes. Then she went her way. She ate something, and her face was no longer downcast. Oh, you missed it. I don't know if I should read it again, but let me keep going. Earlier, we're told that she is in such anguish, which is torment. Could be either mental or physical. It is such pain that she is unable to eat. You follow me? She's weeping bitterly, meaning just tears after tears. The text is tailored to teach us that prayer may not change the situation right away, because Samuel is not born yet, but prayer will change us to the point where we're not crying all night long. No more sleepless nights. No more tossing and turning. No more loss of appetite. You see, the situation may be the same, but God will. Yes, he will. God will help us to deal with the situation. I know that's right. So we see Hannah's problem. We see Hannah's prayer. Lastly, my third and my final point as I close is we see Hannah's praise. Yeah, it's right there, verse 19. I hope you didn't close your Bible. Bible says, early the next morning, they arose and worshiped before the Lord. If I could use my spiritual imagination, I believe that the power of Hannah's prayer is right here in the 19th verse. You see, the power of a mother's prayer is due to her worship of the Lord. Let me say it another way. Hannah praised the Lord in advance. She basically was saying, I don't have to wait to praise God. She says, because when you know who God is, when you know what God can do, you don't need anybody's validation. You know what God will do. Therefore, We can praise him in advance. Is there anybody here that'll give my God a right now praise for a not yet blessing? Is there anybody here? Yes. Notice, if you will, Samuel's not born yet, but I believe that when Hannah went to the temple, that she shouted like it was already done, that she shouted to make the devil mad, that she made a shout that made walls come down. She released a praise in advance. Will somebody help me give our God some praise in advance? I know he's all right. Is there anybody here that know that in advance of the job, in advance of the new house, in advance of the finances, in advance of the increase, in advance of the elevation, in advance of the restoration, in advance of the new business, in advance of the new territory, I dare you to release a praise in advance. Shout like you got it. Shout your way through. Shout your way out. Shout your way over. Open your mouth and bless the Lord. Yeah. Yeah. Woo! I know he's all right. Yes. Why can I praise the Lord in advance? You just got to read the rest of 19 and 20. God tells you that after they left church, they went home. Elkanah slept with Hannah in a matter of days. God blessed her with a son. Won't he do it? Won't he do it? Won't he do it? Won't he do it? Yes, he will. Yes, he will. Ah, no, he's all right. Yeah. As we stand on our feet. Amen. I know he's all right. Yeah. Life. Life will throw us, all of us, problems. And Hannah gives us an example that when life gives us problems, that we ought to respond with prayer. And in responding with prayer, because of the God that we serve, that we know it is on the way, and our power of our prayer is in the fact that we can praise God in advance. In advance. In advance. I believe that Hannah's prayer touched the heart of God. For Hannah said, if you would give me a son, I would give him back to you. Hannah was dealing with shame and guilt. And it was through the birth of having her son Samuel that it took away the guilt and the shame. I believe God, our Father, could relate and identify. Because we have the guilt and the shame of sin. God said, I'm going ready to send my only begotten son for the purposes of the people. And through sending Jesus, we are free from the guilt of shame and sin. Yes, Lord, there may be one that is listening today that does not know Jesus in the pardon of your sins and don't know why we can shout, give God praise in advance of this coronavirus being over. But we can shout like he's already done it. We can shout like we're going to make our way through. We can shout because we know he'll bring us through. If you need to know this Jesus, we ask that you would give the preacher your hand, but give God your heart. We know that you're listening viral, but if you would bow your head and confess with your mouth and believe in your heart that God raised Jesus from the dead, simply say that I believe that I'm a sinner in need of a Savior, and I believe that God raised him from the dead. Romans says that if you repeat that, you shall be saved. We pray, God, that if you have prayed the sinner's prayer, that's your salvation. But now you need some discipleship to go with your salvation. We pray that you would find yourself a Bible-believing and a Bible-preaching church. We are the Church of the Redeemer Baptist. Not a perfect church, but we'd love to have you. Second prayer is for that person that may find themselves in a backslidden condition. You know, all things work together for the good. This coronavirus has brought many people back to God. You may be that type of person that somehow you wandered away, but now you know you need the Lord. If you're in a backslidden condition and you want to restore a right relationship with God, we'll pray with you. Just email us, let us know, and we'll do whatever we can do. Our last call, you may be in need of a church home. And now you realize and recognize a church home is not the building, but a church home is being connected to the body of believers. You may have stumbled on this Facebook website by accident, but there's no accidents in God. There's no coincidence in God. We'd love to have you as a member. Is there one? Is there one? Again, we want to say happy Mother's Day, and we pray that everyone would enjoy their Sunday. But most important, we thank God for giving us a reason to shout and a reason to have hope. Amen.
I'm so glad she prayed. I'm so glad she prayed. So glad she prayed.